Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Deere & Company has agreed to sell its crop insurance business to Farmers Mutual Hale Insurance Company of Iowa, following a strategic review of the unit that began in September. The deal is expected to close in the first quarter of next year, and it includes sale of John Deere Insurance Company and John Deere Risk Protection Incorporated. Terms of the deal were not disclosed. Russia's National Association of Agricultural Products Exporters today say that its members have suspended export operations and appealed to non-members to follow suit. The association, which includes major exporting companies and account for over 60% of Russia's total grain exports, says it has become impossible to honor export contracts because of the falling ruble and rising grain prices. The suspension of trading will last until domestic prices stabilize. Private exporters reported this morning to USDA export sales of 135,664 metric tons of corn for delivery to Japan during the 14 and 15 marketing year. Also flying out the door this marketing year is 101,604 metric tons of corn. That shipment is heading to Mexico. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 17,709. It's down 14 points. The NASDAQ, 4268, is up 5.5. The S&P 500 is 2059, and it is down 0.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good Friday morning, Drew.
Indeed. It's another cloudy one, though. We're starting off with a little bit of fog out there in parts of the region as well. But fog is a good indicator that perhaps we're finally going to get out of the cold and into some warmer bias conditions. And it always starts off with a little fog at this time of the year when you start bringing warmer air over the colder ground. Yesterday afternoon's highs were only in the 20s and 30s across a big part of the Midwest. We are about in the same range at this hour. A lot of 20s out there. There are a few temperatures over 30 degrees out in the far southwestern and west central parts of the Midwest. But it's basically pretty much a uniform temperature regime out there, a few upper teens in a few locations as well. But as we go through the next couple of days, it'll be rather tranquil across the Midwest, but we will gradually warm things up a little bit, getting into a little bit more of a favorable temperature environment. Don't look for it to be dramatically warm for another couple of days, but as we get into Sunday, I think we'll probably see the temperatures that afternoon working their way back up into some 30s and 40s across the region, and we'll actually see some 50-degree temperatures showing up in the southern parts of the region as we get into Monday and possibly Tuesday. Now, all the warmth is occurring because of a storm center that's going to be drifting into the Midwest as we get to the end of the weekend and early part of next week. This will be mostly Sunday into Tuesday of next week. When it comes into the western Corn Belt, it's going to come in rather innocently. It's not likely to have much excitement to it. A little bit of light snow, a little bit of freezing drizzle may occur in Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and parts of Wisconsin on Sunday going into Monday morning. But on Monday afternoon and Tuesday, we'll see this low pressure system intensify quite a bit, and it'll become a significant winter storm for the western and northern parts of the Great Lakes region. Those areas will end up seeing widespread snow, with maybe upwards to 8 inches possibly to accumulate in parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. Much lighter precipitation will occur in the rest of the Midwest up until about Monday evening. Starting Monday night, going into Tuesday, there'll be a shower and thunderstorm pattern beginning to line up along a frontal boundary, and eventually we'll see some strong thunderstorms developing from parts of the southeastern corner of Missouri and western Kentucky into parts of Indiana and Ohio. This will occur primarily as we go into the morning on Tuesday, and those storms will get stronger and march further to the east across the region Tuesday afternoon into early Wednesday morning. After that, the colder air will pour into the heart of the Midwest, and we'll see a little bit of rain shower activity changing over to a little light snow, but we won't see nearly the accumulations that the upper Midwest will. Most areas will just see a dusting to an inch or two at the most, and you know, quite a few areas will just see a lot of wind and snow blowing around. After that, we'll see another storm system developing at midweek next week that might have a little bearing on some of the Christmas travel. I don't think it's necessarily I'm already kind of confusing everybody, aren't I? Well, I was just talking about Christmas there for the next week. This other system occurs after Christmas, actually. It's probably going to be Thursday night into Friday. A low-pressure center will come into the western Corn Belt once again, and that system will end up producing widespread snow again in the upper parts of the Midwest, but the eastern areas should not be impacted in a significant manner. So as we go through next week, we'll have a quick period of rather nasty weather in the upper parts of the region. It will hinder some of the travel for Christmas. After that, we'll see a system late next week that will only produce light amounts of precipitation across the region. In South America, it's going to be very wet this weekend. Some heavy rains will occur in Rio Grande do Sul and northward into parts of Paraná and Sao Paulo. There may be some flooding that will occur, and that will make the headlines perhaps on Sunday night or Monday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 675 down 8¾. Soft March wheat, 641 down 14¼. March corn, 406¾, down 4¼. May, 415¼, down 4¼. July, 421¾, down 4½. December, 430¼, down 4½. January beans, 1026¾, down 8¼. March, 1034¼, down now 34½, down 8¾. July's 1047½, down 8½. January soybean meal is 360.80 down 450. January soybean oil is 32 up 11. December live cattle 159.75 up 105. January feeders 220 up 292.5. And February lean hogs are 81.60 down 27.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave.
I can just imagine what those brand new longs in the wheat market are thinking today.
Yeah, they're having a nervous Friday, aren't they, Dave? It's showing toppy action. Talking to guys in Chicago this morning and different things, it's, you get that feel, and it's more than one person. So yeah, if you're long the wheat, be nervous there. Probably a time to. You know, if you have losses, cut them and get out, because it looks like we're probably due for more of a correction as we finish the day and go on into next week.
I think corn and soybeans are also maybe toppy today.
They are. We've been pleasantly surprised at the overall strength of the markets, considering the anticipated first of January movement that we always see. You would think that the markets would have started to drift off. And if you look at the weekly stats, Dave, it is kind of surprising, because it feels like the markets have been strong, but yet, March corn from last Friday to today is off a few pennies. Jan beans are off 15 or 20 cents. So we are seeing that slide. It just, kind of doesn't feel like it.
I think it might be end of the year action. I mean, if this was not the end of the year and you were looking at the technical chart strictly, you would say, boy, there's some gaps here that are nice, juicy targets.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Dave. The targets in those charts are certainly there. We've been pleasantly surprised again at how we've been able to sustain. And right now, when you look at different supply or support resistance areas in corn and beans, there's just not much of a spread. March corn from 405 to 415. March beans 310 to 360. Mm-hmm. Again, we're just not seeing wild swings coming.
Would you consider then, at this point, if you haven't done any of your new crop marketings, even though we're down a little bit today, would you consider peeling off a little bit and starting here?
For the 15 crop,
yes.
Yes. We've been encouraging our guys, if you get to see right at $10 cash beans for next fall, $4 cash corn, if you haven't already started, go ahead and get that program going. If you look out at projections and you talk about acres and yields and trend lines for next year, you're not exactly destroying the carryover. We're still looking at $1.7 billion, $1.8 billion carryover for next year on corn and over $400 on beans. So $4 and $10 are great places to start for the guys.
Thank you, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thank you.
That's Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. March corn, 407 down 4. And March soybeans are 1037, down 6 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.